Good afternoon. It's 3:30. This is Texas Public Radio News on KSTX. I'm Steve Short. San Antonio is mourning the loss of one of its brightest stars. An assistant says Bill Sinkin passed away peacefully last night to the tune of Here Comes the Sun, surrounded by family and friends. Texas Public Radio's Eileen Pace reports Sinkin's spirit will live on among his many friends and in his widespread contributions to San Antonio.
In a couple of spots along W.W. White Road on the city's east side, crepe myrtle trees still stand in the grassy easements at both of Bill Sinkin's former bank buildings.
He loved crepe myrtles.
Retired businessman Charles Williams says Sinkin had a vision of beautifying the boulevard with crepe myrtles up and down the street, so he started with his own bank. But the scope of Sinkin's 100 years of accomplishments runs much deeper.
I first met Mrs. Sinkin as a active person in the community that was trying to make race relationships better for San Antonio, just not the east side. But the thing that impressed me about him was that he put his money where his mouth was.
William R. Sinkin was born in 1913. After graduating from the University of Texas, he went to work in his father's clothing manufacturing business. And on a sales trip to New York, he met the love of his life, Faye, and asked her that very night to marry him. They both spent the rest of their lives working together for the good of San Antonio. Barge rides along the Riverwalk, downtown hotels, tourism, all became possible because of Bill Sinkin's key role in developing Hemisphere. Integration and improved race relations in San Antonio. Solar energy? Think of Bill Sinkin. Aquifer protection and water quality awareness? Bill and Faye Sinkin did that too. Sinkin supported his wife's fight against City Hall in the 1970s to turn back plans for a shopping mall over the aquifer. Former Mayor Henry Cisneros was on that city council.
And the public rose up, and it was blown out of the water. The Sinkins were in the lead in that highly poisonous, toxic, contentious political battle.
What Faye did is that she was concerned about available water sources for the city of San Antonio.
Dr. Gregory Hudspeth, a political science professor at St. Philip's College, says the city was deeply fragmented during the 60s, and Bill Sinkin reached into communities, building bridges that brought people together.
I think his legacy would be one that will cut across racial lines, cut across gender lines, ethnicities.
Sinkin, who as a young boy suffered discrimination at the hands of classmates, they beat him for looking different and for being Jewish, took on race relations as a personal mission. He opened the first bank on the east side and hired black tellers, even though some of his white depositors threatened to walk. He offered mortgage and small business loans to members of the community when no one else would, often lending not on collateral but on personal relationships. Charles Williams became his friend.
He was kind of like a politician. He kept a pocket full of cards, you know, and, "Hi, I'm Bill Sinkin. Who are you doing your banking? If you're not satisfied with your banker, come to Texas Bank to bank with a heart." And that was also synonymous with Bill Sinkin because he was a man with a big heart, you see.
Local personality Ron Aaron interviewed Bill Sinkin just a few years ago about his contribution to civil rights at a time when black people were not served at white restaurants on the Riverwalk.
He told me how he and an African-American friend went to lunch at Casa Rio. They were sitting in the rear of the restaurant, weren't served, finally served. They went back the next day, sat in the front of the restaurant, and from that day on, Casa Rio and the Riverwalk was fully integrated.
Cisneros says Hemisphere was the key event that positioned San Antonio as a vibrant, world-renowned city with a viable convention center, the Riverwalk, hotels, and a strong business community. He calls Sinkin a decisive player in bridging gaps among different movers and shakers to complete the Hemisphere project.
People like Mayor McAllister, and of course, we know that H.B. Zachary stepped in to save it because it was not going to be finished, but for his construction expertise, and people like Marshall Steves, O'Neill Ford, many others.
Through a soft-spoken manner, Bill Sinkin motivated, led, and participated, and became a forever force in San Antonio. He chaired the San Antonio Housing Authority and founded Goodwill of San Antonio. He played violin in San Antonio's very first symphony orchestra at the Municipal Auditorium. He campaigned for Democrats his whole life. In his 90s, Sinkin started a new nonprofit organization to promote solar energy. Former Express News columnist Carrie Clack says Sinkin was everywhere, always with his signature bow tie, always happy and always glad to see you.
It's amazing the energy and also the conscience, because he's, you know, when you see him out there, it's not just social events where he's having a party. It's just out. It's always some cause. It has a purpose. It's trying to better people's lives. It's trying to bring people together.
It's just not possible to chronicle 100 years of such a well-lived life in a short radio story. But everyone that I interviewed liked and respected the man, no exception. Longtime San Antonio banker Tom Frost says a New Year's card he just received from Sinkin expressed his essence and the enduring message that he left for all of us.
He quotes C.R. Lewis and says, "You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." Now, to me, that's the epitome of Bill Sinkin.
Eileen Pace, Texas Public Radio News.
And Bill Sinkin gone at 100 years old. Thank you to Eileen Pace for that wonderful story. We're talking about Bill Sinkin and his legacy in San Antonio on The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. We invite you to call in 614-8980, 614-8980. Talk about your memories of Bill Sinkin and what he's done, what he did for you, or what he did for the city of San Antonio. The number again, 614-8980. With me on the line to talk about Bill Sinkin, Lanny Sinkin, Bill's son, and we also have Rick Casey, former Central Express News columnist Rick Casey, and also on PBS KLRN. So, Lanny, my condolences. Of course, my heart goes out to you. What was your father's secret? How did he do so much?
It's truly amazing, and thank you for the condolences. I will say that I think the primary attitude of the family right now is celebration. You know, it was just a wonderful life that he led. I think some of the secrets to his very full life was that he was very interested in people. He loved people. He was a good listener. He was always ready to help people that needed help. He had a very refined sense of justice, and if he saw injustice, he would go to battle to try and correct it. He was very patient. He was very persistent. Many people know that if Bill Sinkin decided he wanted to do something, he probably ought to just go ahead and let him do it, because eventually he was going to do it. And also always interested in the latest, what was new, what was happening in the community or in science or in politics. You know, being one of the first in Texas to put solar on a commercial building on the Texas Bank back in the early 1980s, that's typically him. He would go out and try stuff and be a pioneer. So I think all of that combined with his love for San Antonio just kept him motivated all the time to see what he could do to improve his community.
Rick Casey, what are your memories of Bill Sinkin?
Well, I remember the first time I met Bill. And by the way, hello, Lanny. And you're right to say.
Hi.
I was a junior at St. Mary's University. I was editor of the newspaper there, the Rattler, and we had a tradition of having an annual public debate. I think the previous year it was a political scientist, Bill Crane, against the head of the local John Birch Society. I arranged a debate between Bill Sinkin and County Commissioner Albert Pena. And the topic was, at this time, Bill was president of the Hemisphere. And this is the school year of 66-67. It was probably either November, December, January, February, somewhere in there in the winter of 66-67. So it was in the early stages of getting the fair going. The topic was resolved, Hemisphere will be good for the city. And, of course, Bill was prepared to take the positive. Albert Pena was a very strong critic of the establishment. He at that time was, I think, about the only or one of very few Hispanic politicians directly elected, because all of the state legislators and all the city councilmen were elected countywide. So he was the only real powerful voice that the West Side had and the South Side. And Bill was just raring to go. I love that about him, that he was for open discussions. But I'm afraid he got a call from some of the the people, the money people behind the fair, and they basically told him, I think, what are you doing giving that radical some publicity? And he, and very embarrassed and very apologetic, had to call me and back out from the debate. I admired him for wanting to do it. I understood why he didn't. And that was, as I say in the movies, the beginnings of a wonderful friendship.
So, Lanny, your father, Bill Sinkin, managed to walk in many worlds, not confined to just one, not just in the business world, but he also was active in so many fields, arts, civil rights, and bringing economic opportunity to the disadvantaged. How did he do that?
Well, I think he was always looking for what could be done to improve the lives of people in our community. So in some instances, creating a microloan fund that could help people with a small loan expand a business or establish a business, he loved that kind of thing, to help people right at the grassroots level. And at the same time, he was willing to take on visionary projects like Hemisphere. And he must have made 250 speeches to groups and individuals in San Antonio to get them on board with putting Hemisphere together. And just had an expansive view of what was possible, and combined his courage and his compassion with being well organized and very thoughtful and very thorough in his approach to issues, so that he would be persuasive. He was just an incredibly persuasive guy.
Rick Casey, what do you think Bill Sinkin's lasting legacy will be?
Oh, yeah, I think that the word that would define him as his citizen. I mean, you think about this guy. He was a leader in the business community. He was very very much a political liberal, and he let that extend to his banking process. I mean, he was the first one to go down to the South Side with a significant bank, first one to put African Americans on the board, to hire them at the bank. He was unapologetic about that, but he was he was also the definition of a good political actor, is somebody who can disagree without being disagreeable. His ebullience, his personality, made it hard not to like him. And so even a lot of the conservatives, a lot of the people who were all those days Democrats but who would become Republicans, they couldn't help but to like him and to respect him and to work with him. And he was very happy to work with them. He became a citizen not only through all those activities, through being a major local backer, one of the few business backers of Henry B. Gonzalez, the congressman during those days, through his work on solar San Antonio and trying to promote, solar power. He just has done everything he could in his life, 100 years of working to make things better.
We're talking about Bill Sinkin and his legacy in San Antonio. The word citizen that you bring up, Rick, perfect. He was super citizen, I would say, with everything that he did for the city over his 100 years of working here. And we invite callers. If you've got memories and stories of Bill Sinkin, please call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And it wasn't, we know about solar because that's the big issue now, but Lanny, water was a big thing back in the day, in the early days, before people knew about the aquifer and recharge zone. Your father and your mom were out there.
Oh, no question about it. My mother helped to organize the Aquifer Protection Association and to make the aquifer into a major issue. I was pleased to work with her on doing that, and eventually we had an election over aquifer zoning, and the town had already risen up basically to protect the aquifer thanks to all the educational work they had been doing.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. Lanny, we're going to pick it up right there. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about Bill Sinkin. We invite your phone calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the life and the legacy of Bill Sinkin, who helped bring Hemisphere 68 to San Antonio. He was a civil rights pioneer. He was an activist. He was an entrepreneur, a businessman, did so much for the city of San Antonio. With me on the line to talk about that, we have his son, Lanny Sinkin, also Rick Casey, the San Antonio Express News former columnist, and also has This Week with Rick Casey, Texas Week with Rick Casey on KLRN. Joining me now also, we have Charles Williams, who is an associate, former associate of Bill Sinkin. Welcome to The Source, Charles. Go ahead. Tell us about Bill Sinkin, your memories.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today? You know, it's a beautiful day, and that's indicative of the kind of person that Bill Sinkin was. He was a beautiful person. We talk about his political skills and his entrepreneurship, but Bill was also a humanitarian. He was concerned about human beings, and he was concerned about making things right for those individuals who were underprivileged. His footprint is all over the east side of San Antonio. Bill was very gutsy, and he was very persuasive, and someone said early, he was very persuasive, and it was pretty difficult to win an argument with him. He walked light, but he packed a big stick. That soft voice, and he's very warm and casual with you. So someone said it's difficult to get angry with him. But I remember Bill and being sensitive to the lack of business development here on the east side. And he established what was called Texas Bank, the bank with a heart, if you used to say. And one of the things I took note of Bill was that he was always pushing the bank. He was constantly pushing that bank. He was focused. Whatever Bill was doing, he was very focused on it. And he would walk up to you, and he would politely ask you, I'm Bill Sinkin with Texas Bank. Where are you doing your banking? If you're not satisfied, come to the bank with a heart. And I would watch him all the time. He kept a pocket full of cards, and he could talk with a few moments. And then he was going to be talking about Texas Bank. I was I was the very first African-American to purchase land and erect a building on W.W. White Road. Bill Sinkin was a part of that, because the loan was a participating loan with Texas Bank and the SBA. They had a policy that if you went to SBA and you were turned down three times, then SBA would take you on and loan you the money. Well, my first stop was Texas Bank because I knew Mr. Sinkin. And he knew the procedure. And he said, no, we ain't going to turn him down. He said, what are we going to do? We're going to ask for a participating loan. Federal government back him up, we're going to loan Charles the money. And he did. The rest is history. That was 41 years ago. And a lot of times when I walk around over here on the east side, people look at the properties and business ventures that I've had. Bill is a part of it. I now live on a street called Charles Williams Place. When I erected this building, it's called Fifth. And Bill used to tell me all the time, you know, Charles, this is just the beginning. You know, I can see that there are many things up the road for you. And
absolutely.
You keep focused. And so that's the way I remember Bill.
Charles Williams, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in and sharing those memories of Bill Sinkin. We're talking about Bill Sinkin. We welcome your phone calls. We've got a memory story about Bill. 614-8980. With me on the line, we've got Rick Casey and Lanny Sinkin. Let's get to Weir Labatt, former San Antonio City Council member, wants to join the conversation. Council Member Labatt, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My memory of Bill goes back long before my days on the city council, when Bill and I served on the Board of Trustees of Our Lady of the Lake University. And it was an amazing board. I was a young man then in my 30s, and here I am with a bunch of very senior, wonderful people. But it was an ecumenical board, and Bill was Jewish. I was a Protestant. It was a Catholic school, and we never even thought about that. We were just trying to do our best to help young people get an education at the lake. And then I remember particularly switching a little bit to Faye, his wife. She worked so hard to protect development over the recharge zone of the aquifer, and she was sort of a pioneer, but she was out there by herself for a long time. And I think had people understood what she was trying to do, that she had probably unanimous support. But she had lots of opposition initially, but she was completely correct in attempting to protect the aquifer, the recharge zone. And I wish we'd have listened to her, because we'd be in a whole lot better shape today on the water issue had we taken her advice.
All right. Hey, go ahead.
This is Rick Casey. I've got a question for you and Lanny. My understanding is that way back in the probably early 60s, maybe middle 60s, that Congressman Gonzalez, as I mentioned, Bill was a big backer of Councilman Gonzalez, Henry B. Gonzalez, that Councilman Gonzalez back in those days proposed that San Antonio pony up, and it wouldn't have been that many million dollars, but some millions of dollars to buy basically the land over the recharge zone north and west of San Antonio. That would not be unprecedented. The city of New York owns an awful lot of land up in the mountains north of New York for water purposes. Of course, it didn't go anywhere, but I'm wondering, Lanny, and maybe where, if you know, whether Fay, who was such a water activist, played a role in getting Henry B. to make that proposal.
I actually think that was taking place in the 70s, at the same time that the huge debate over the aquifer erupted. The obvious solution to the protection of the aquifer was to purchase the land in the recharge zone. And we did talk to Congressman Gonzalez about that. If I remember correctly, I think he introduced a bill that would have appropriated $76 million to buy the recharge zone in at least Bexar County. And that the developers who wanted to develop out north to San Antonio went up to Congress and killed the bill. That's the recollection I have. It's been a long time, so I may not be totally accurate. But that was surely one of the best ways. And, you know, today we do have some funds that are dedicated to buying sensitive areas, the recharge zone. San Antonio would have a very different history in that particular arena if Henry B.'s idea of appropriating federal money to purchase it had been followed through.
So, Lanny, what was it like growing up in that household with your mom, Faye, and your dad, Bill, with all their political activities?
Well, I think probably the most significant indicator of that was the dinner table. You know, every night at dinner, we would sit down and have dinner together, and we'd be talking about one political event or personal involvement or whatever. It was always a very stimulating discussion about what was going on in the community and, you know, what people were doing. And it was a real education for me, of course, to hear from folks like Mom and Dad that were so involved in raising us both to be committed and honest and have a sense of righteousness. It's partly a Jewish tradition. It's called tzaddik, which means that you want justice in this life. It's not about the afterlife. It's about doing the right thing in this life. I think they very beautifully instilled that in both my brother and myself as we were growing up. And, you know, we became very much followers of their belief system and their way of approaching life.
I remember with my mom and your mom going out, getting petitions signed at Central Park Mall, trying to get that on the referendum on the ballot here in San Antonio.
Yep. Yes, that's right. And we got that referendum on the ballot. Earlier we were talking about that. There reached a point where, because we got enough signatures, it was going to go on the ballot. And the city council came to the Aquifer Protection Association and said, well, what if we just rescind that legislation that was passed, the zoning that was passed, and skip the election? And Mom was real firm about, no, we want the election because we want the people to have a chance to express their desire that the aquifer be protected. So we had the election, and we won the election with 76% of the vote, which really made a huge impact politically on the future of protection of the aquifer.
So here we are celebrating the life of Bill Sinkin today. How do you feel about the outpouring of love and respect for your dad today, Lanny?
Well, it has just been overwhelming. The Facebook, the emails, the Twitters, all of it, the wonderful media response. It's just a clear measure of how much he was loved. I mean, the amount of love energy flowing through San Antonio today is just phenomenal. And that's him. You know, he loved life, he loved people, he loved issues, he loved being engaged, and it's all coming back to him in a sense now that he's left.
Rick, can you think of any other person in San Antonio, a non-elected official, who has had so much impact on the city?
I think he's one of about five or six of a generation, and that you think of it, Tom Frost has had a tremendous impact. Of course, the late General McDermott ran USAA. He had a huge impact. Those are just a couple. There are some others, but what distinguished Bill, I think, was his. He would go against the establishment on so many political issues. I mean, he backed Faye when she was really taking on the establishment in so many ways, like on the aquifer.
And Applewhite.
Applewhite. Exactly.
Some people are still mad about that.
And he didn't disinherit Lanny, I understand, just because Lanny was against the South Texas nuclear project, one of the leading activists against it. He said, "No, I still love my son." That's what really set him apart and to play such a major role on the front edge. I mean, San Antonio, actually, a lot of the business leaders handled things like desegregation with more grace than they did in many other cities.
Absolutely.
But Bill not only handled with grace, he was out there actually helping to lead the charge.
All right,
that's what set him apart.
We need more Bill Sinkins. We need more Bill Sinkins for sure. Lanny Sinkin, thank you so much for joining us. And again, we join you in the celebration of your father. Rick Casey, thank you for joining us and sharing your recollections of Bill Sinkin. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.